We greet each one in Jesus' name this morning. We also want to bring you greetings from the Salisbury congregation. And we don't often get here, but we do think of you here some, especially with some family here. Well, we think of you probably oftener than we would otherwise, but it's encouraging to me to be able to travel many miles and find people that are serving the same God, and we can have that connection, that brotherhood connection, that others know nothing about, and we can come here among you, and I don't know many of you. Some of your faces I know somewhat, but I don't know, I can put names to many of you, and yet there's a bond there that we don't have just going to a social meeting of another kind. We have a bond in Jesus Christ, and it's a wonderful thing that we can have. I've been blessed already by being here this morning, and in the Sunday school lesson, thinking of humility, it's something that I certainly need more of, just to be humble and allow God to use us. It's It's a tremendous thing. This morning, I'd like to think about patience. And I wondered what went through everybody's mind when I said patience. Did it almost make you impatient to think of patience? Sometimes it almost does. None of us really like to wait. We don't like to wait on someone else. We don't like someone else holding us up, so to speak. We don't want to, we want to do something now. Even though we might have been sitting doing nothing for the last half hour, now something's in our way and we want to do it now. And patience. Patience has been referred to as a cork on the bottle that keeps the anger and frustration from escaping. And we've all heard different sayings about patience. And I think a lot of the way we look at patience is because of what situations we have experienced that took patience. Different people think of it in different ways. It's also been referred to as the pop-off valve that keeps the kettle from exploding. It's something that kind of keeps things under control instead of letting it fly apart. Because usually when there's patience, we think of it as something that could happen here that wouldn't be for the good. When we lose our patience, usually there's words said that shouldn't have been, words said that we will later regret, or maybe even things done that we will later regret. It's also been said that a handful of patience is worth a bushel of brains. Usually, things get a little foolish when we lose our patience. We can do things that, like we say, we later regret. I think we all know what I'm talking about. We're human. And don't think that I'm here this morning that I've got this all figured out, because I certainly don't. You can listen in as I talk to myself this morning, so to speak. I feel like I need this probably as much or more than anyone else. Just the thing of patience. Not popping off. Patience, the ability to idle the motor when we feel like stripping the gears. And we can put a muffler on that motor, but how much good does it really do? It's still revved. It's still getting ready to do damage. But if we can idle that motor. Luke 21:19 says, In your patience possess ye your souls. A power, a strength to remain in control. And that isn't always possible for us to do ourselves. We need the power of God to be able to do that. He had been telling the disciples here what they would face. what Jerusalem would face and also what they would face, and many trials that they would face, the persecutions they would face. And then he says, "And your patience possess ye your souls." And that was a little different idea of patience to me. What was he? What did he mean by that? Why did he, "In your patience possess ye your souls"? I think patience is something that we plan ahead for, at least to a certain degree. A situation can come up fast and we need patience for it. But I think we need to plan before to have patience. Or plan before, what are we going to do when something goes wrong? When someone says something unkind to us? When someone seems to be doing something for the express purpose of irritating us? What are we going to do? Do we think of that now? I think it's a good thing to do that. Think now what we will do. What's our first line of defense? It's going to require an action from us. It's going to require something from us, especially if they are doing, because sometimes people do things specifically to irritate us. They intend that. What are we going to do? Sometimes simply be quiet and turn away is the right thing to do. Sometimes the right thing to do might be to say a word, and God can give us wisdom right at that moment. But I think it's good to think now what are we going to do? Are we going to, and that way that we have something in mind. When that happens, we can fall back on that. Many times, most of the time, the best thing to do is to be quiet. And because what they're looking for is a response, and a quick response. Let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. A patient person is not a contentious person. A patient person is one that's easy to get along with. You know, we want everybody else to be patient, but we expect people to have patience with us when we're not. A patient person is not a contentious person. Not being a contentious person is part of not giving other people, how should I say this, not giving other people reason to exercise patience, maybe. are we a person that's easy to get along with? 2 Timothy 2, verse 24. Says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient." Says, "And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient." Teaching, patience, that all goes together. We know it takes patience to teach. And do we have that kind of patience to be able to teach? Or are we teaching something but not being patient? I think we can do that also. Now let's go back to verse 8 in 2 Timothy 2, verse 8. And I'd like to read from verse 8 to 10. "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory." This life takes patience. It takes patience to live the Christian life. We don't just, we know we don't get through it in one day. We know that we can't see all in one day exactly what we're going to face, and therefore we can kind of go through it all one time. But it takes a patient enduring, and patience has the thought of enduring, just quiet endurance, so to speak. There's not it's not, a lot of times a person that's patient isn't necessarily out in the forefront, isn't the first person we're going to notice. Patience many times takes the background, and yet because of being patient, sometimes that person is pretty obvious. Because they're not responding like maybe we would expect them to. They're not responding in a way that a lot of other people would. They're responding with patience. And that's something different than what we see a lot of times. And I think we see it as something that we want. As a Christian, we want to be patient. We want that for ourselves. At the same time, patience is not passive. Patience is active. It isn't something that we... Just sitting back and letting the world go by isn't necessarily patience. Patience is active. Patience is doing something. We could refer to it as a concentrated strength. It doesn't pretend that the injustice never happened. You know, sometimes people just say, oh, well, that's all right. You know, it happened, but it's not a problem. It's all right. Well, is that really the way we should respond? Really, it's bothering us, and we need to deal with it some way. And the best thing to do is to deal with it head on. It's not, don't pretend that the injustice didn't happen, but to see beyond that and to love that person. Patience is also love, and love and patience is hard to separate. I don't know if we hardly can separate love and patience. It takes love to be patient. I think to really be patient, we see beyond the present. We have to somehow look beyond the present and see why we need to be patient. The reaction that I was about to make, it's not going to be good. And we need to somehow look beyond the present to be patient. It gives us the strength to be patient. And many times, the reason that we need patience is because of what another person has done. Almost always. Maybe sometimes we need patience with a machine, but mostly it's human relations. Mostly that's where the real test of patience comes. And where the most damage can be done if we're not patient is when dealing with other people. When we're interacting with others, we're talking about souls. We're talking about a mother with their children, a father with their children, and between brothers and sisters in the church, and also in the home. But patience. Do we have that? Do we have time to be patient? Sometimes it takes time. Sometimes it's we're just too busy to take the time for this person. We're just too busy. We've got other things to do, and we hurry on, and the person gets pushed off. And maybe they were irritating to us, but maybe they were trying to get our attention. Maybe they wanted our attention, especially when we think of children. Sometimes they can misbehave to try to get our attention. Sometimes that's what they're after. Do we have the patience to take that time with them? Speaking to myself, do I care enough to just take the time? Sometimes we can. Sometimes there are other things. There's other people waiting on us. And at the very present, right at that time, we can't hardly just sit down and read a book to our child or take them fishing or help them with the project. Maybe they're trying to build an airplane and they just can't get the nail in. And sometimes these things don't take a lot of time. Could we just take the time to help them out a little bit? Tomorrow they may hardly remember that we helped them with their airplane, but in 10 years from now, they'll remember that we took time for. And do we have the patience to do that? Are we willing to take that time? Patience takes time. At least one aspect of patience does take time. Patience is far more than concealing our impatience. There is an aspect of patience that is true, that it's simply concealing our impatience. But it's more than that. It's loving the person behind what maybe made us impatient. As I said, most of the time, probably our biggest tests of patience come in the form of people, come in the form of personal relations. And so love has a big part in that. Love shows itself in many ways, but patience many, many times shows itself in love. When we're talking about in a church setting, sometimes we just don't think that what we have done will be taken the way it was, and we just don't realize that we offended somebody. However, on the other side of that, how do I respond when somebody does something? They had to know what they were doing. They had to understand that they were being an irritation to me, that they, how couldn't they have seen that? There had to be a plan behind that. They meant to mess me up. Can we have love for that person? And in patient forbearance, simply not say it didn't happen, but simply forgive them for that. And sometimes later we understand better that they certainly didn't mean to hurt us. They had no idea that we took it that way. But patient forbearance. Let's go to Luke 9, verse 51. Here we see patience as love. Luke 9, verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers before his face, and they went, and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of, for the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Jesus here giving a very good example. James and John were known as the sons of thunder. They wanted something to happen now. And here these people didn't even accept Jesus. Of all people, Jesus. They didn't accept him. They said, go on somewhere else. The Samaritans and the Jews didn't have a lot of dealings back and forth, and they seen that he was headed to Jerusalem, and so he wasn't one of them. I don't understand exactly what all this means, that his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. I don't know how they decided that he looked like he was going to Jerusalem and not going to be friendly to them. I don't know exactly how they figured that, but either way, they said, no, we won't have him here in our village. But what I see here is the disciples not understanding really what the love of God was all about. And do we understand, do we allow ourselves to understand today, or are we wanting revenge? God has said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. Let's leave that up to God and love one another, love those around us, be willing to extend that love to them even though it doesn't seem like they deserve it, even though maybe they don't deserve it. Let's extend that love to them. Christ here realized that these very same people needed him. And sometimes maybe we fall a little short, or maybe I fall a little short of realizing that even though this person has done something against me, has talked mean to me, or whatever the case may be, they need God. Their problem is they need God, and they need Jesus. They need him in their lives. And when that can happen, then they will look at it different also. They didn't realize who they were rejecting here. They didn't realize they were rejecting the Son of God. The Samaritans were a mixed group, but it appears as though there was at least some of them that would still realize that Jesus Christ would come. So I don't know, there might have been some people in this town that would have felt that way. One day the Messiah will come and he will... I'm not sure how much they think he was going to be for them also. I don't know exactly how all that was. They were part Jews. There was some of that there, so I don't know how that all was. But finally, they rejected him. And the disciples just really thought that was a real smack in the face. And in a way, it was. But Christ seen it different. He was here to save lives, not to destroy them. How many times do we find ourselves destroying instead of saving? Maybe in one stroke we don't actually destroy lives. Maybe we don't actually discourage someone to the point of rejecting Christ in one time, in one stroke, in one word. But I think it can happen. And with that in mind, how do we go through life? Do we go very carefully, realizing that Christ himself said that if we offend one of these, it were better that a millstone were hanged about his neck and thrown into the sea. If we offend one of these. And I think there, when it talks about offending one of these, I think he's talking about turning them away. Not just accidentally offending, not, could we say, accidentally saying something that wasn't to their liking or that hurt them, but I think here he's saying that the turning them away, actually turning them away from God. Maybe it can, I'm afraid it can be done in a moment of frustration from us. We can offend someone to the point that they are discouraged and turn away. It probably wasn't the first thing that happened. It might have been a number of things, even maybe from others that were done or said. Let's be very careful how we respond. Do we realize the damage we could do in one moment of impatience? I think it is causes us to look at this seriously. How do we live life? Are we aware of God's presence? Are we aware that we are many times the Bible that people read? Many people don't read the scriptures today, and do we realize that many times they're looking to us for that? There was someone, and I'm not, by saying this, I'm not saying that we shouldn't pass out tracts, but there was a man one time speaking to his neighbor, and said something about he should spending time passing out tracts. And he said, you don't need to. Your life speaks louder than anything you can pass out. Like I say, I'm not saying we shouldn't pass out tracts. I think it's very good. But finally, do we realize how much our life means? How much living a patient, loving, life that lines up with what the scriptures say. Maybe those tracts condemn us sometimes, but we need to be careful that doesn't happen. Do we realize how important it is to live a life that doesn't contradict itself? And I think impatience is one of the quickest places that we can contradict ourselves. We say we're non-resistant. We say we love everyone. We say that we love as God loves, and yet we pop off in impatience. God help us that we can, that we wouldn't do that, that we don't, that we aren't the sons of thunder and want something to happen now and not just little things. We want pieces to move. Let's be careful. Are we a patient people? As I said before, we can put a muffler on that engine, but it's still revving wide open. This danger is still there. Moses, when he struck the rock, I had to think about that. You know, he was frustrated with his people. He almost couldn't keep himself under control, but he did until he got to the rock, and then it was too much. He said some very sharp words to them and struck the rock. Now, God did bring water forth for the people, but Moses was judged. Moses was judged for that. Because of that, he could not go into the promised land. He could see it. God allowed him to see it, but he did not allow him to go in because of impatience. He as it were, tried to put a muffler on that engine, tried to keep it quiet, tried to keep it in himself, and it doesn't work. The danger is still there. Love idles that engine, as it were. The patience is more than just putting a muffler on that. There's another side of patience, and this is probably what we think of a lot of times, that is just waiting. Waiting. Nobody likes to wait. As I said in the beginning, we can be sitting for the last half hour, and all at once we need to wait on someone. And maybe it's getting ready for church Sunday morning, and we are sitting there doing something else and enjoying a cup of coffee maybe, and all at once it's past time to be getting ready for church, and at the same time everybody else is doing the same thing, and we all get in each other's way, and we're waiting, and we don't want to wait, and we want to get done. We want to get through. I'm not thinking of the other person that needs to get to maybe brush their teeth also, but we want to. It's us. We want to. And we were talking about humility earlier this morning. I think that comes into play also. But I, what is impatience? It's pretty much thinking about myself. I. Waiting. Waiting on God is the most important form of waiting, probably. And probably takes the most of our time. We can wait on somebody for a half hour. That isn't real long. But we need to wait on God in all of life. Genesis 49:18 says, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. Psalm 33:20, our soul waiteth for the Lord. Psalm 37:7, rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for him. The psalmist, I believe David knew very well what it was to wait on the Lord. For years he ran from Saul. He knew that he was the next king. He had been anointed the next king, and yet God wasn't bringing it around. It wasn't happening. And he could have got very impatient, and I wonder sometimes at his waiting on that. And even when he had the chance to kill Saul, and Saul would have probably deserved that, in our way of thinking anyway, and yet David would not lift up his hand against him. He waited on God. And we can see very well, because we can look at all of history together, we can see very well that that worked out much better for him, and it was very much better that he waited on God and on God's timing than to go ahead and kill Saul and do that himself. And even after Saul was killed in battle, or I guess he killed himself then, he was wounded and he killed himself, even after that, David waited on God. He didn't rush ahead and, okay, I've been anointed king and I'm gonna take over here. He waited. And it was a number of years until he was really king of all Israel. And the patience that he had there to wait on God. Can I simply sit back and wait on God? Acts chapter 1, verses 4-8. Christ told his disciples here to wait, and I think it was probably not real easy for them to wait, but they were waiting literally on God, on Christ here, to do what he had said he would do. Acts chapter 1, verse 4, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou that at this time again restore the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. Here he told them to wait. Wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. And then he says that he will give them the Spirit. And I don't think they realized really what this was all about. And they're waiting for something they don't really know what it is that they're waiting for, even. The Spirit, yes, that he would send it upon them, but they could hardly understand that and what exactly was going to happen. And here they were waiting for days and not really knowing maybe what they were waiting for, or not quite sure when, how long they were supposed to wait. And you know, it's the same for us today. We wait on God. We don't really know what we're waiting for. How is God going to direct the rest of our lives? Where are we going? What's he going to ask us to do? Maybe that's a little scary sometimes, to really just put ourselves in his hands, wait on him. And whatever he calls us to do, that we will do. Maybe we kind of have in mind what we want to do. And that makes the waiting a little harder yet, because we would really like to teach school, and we don't know for sure, is that what God has in mind for us or not? And we wait. And is God going to call us to that or not? What is God's will for our lives? Maybe we... there's many places. Youth probably face that as much as anyone. Or maybe in our youth, we are... We have energy. We want to do something. We just like to know what God's will is right now, so that we can get started on it a while. But God says wait, and yet he gives us something to do while we're waiting. God doesn't just let us hang there and what should we do. He gives us something to do. His word tells us what to do. Simply do what we know to do in the word. Live right for him. Spread the word in love. Spread that to others. And that's what he's calling us to do. That's what he calls every one of us to do, wherever we are. That we be missionaries here. And that can be maybe a busy mother sometimes says, well, how can I be a missionary here? I hardly get out of the house in a day's time, let alone be a missionary. You are a missionary. If you are a busy mother, then you have young children that you are called to be missionaries to, a missionary to. And that is a very great calling. Don't ever think that you're not doing anything. You're just a mother at home. They're not just a mother at home. You're very needed. And God is using you to... Spread his word to others, to teach those young children. And just think of the potential in those children as they go on. And of course, fathers help with that, but mothers spend a lot more time with the children than fathers do. And their teaching is very, very important. And as that child grows up and goes out into the world, there's a tremendous influence. And where did that influence start? Right at home. Mother's teaching. And I'm not saying this for fathers to take a back seat and just hope that your wife will somehow work that all out. That doesn't work very well. They need your support. They need our backing in that. And sometimes we become very involved, and we should be very involved, maybe sometimes more than others. But it is important that we support them in what they're teaching. And we all say the same thing. Both of us, husband and wife, say the same thing. It makes it even stronger. And then they go to church, go to Sunday school, and the same thing is said again. A threefold cord is not easily broken. And I think we could put the church, Sunday school, and the school kind of as the one cord, and mother and father as the other. They're receiving it in three ways, and it's a strong teaching program that goes forth and that our children receive. And they will remember that, and it'll make it much easier for them to choose right. But anyway, we're getting a little bit off of the patience. Patience. How do we teach? Line upon line, precept upon precept. It takes patience to do that also. Waiting on God, as I said, is one of the things that we will do as Christians, that we will have do all our lives. We will never get done waiting on God. And He will answer in due time. We will answer in His time. And that's always the best time. There is work to do, like I said, while we're waiting. And in verse 8, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come on you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." We need to wait on God's timing for going beyond Jerusalem move, but there's always the word to be spread right here. Let's be faithful in that. And then as we wait, God will show us the rest. This morning, let's look at patience waiting, whether we're waiting someone else or they're waiting on God. Patience to accomplish what God has given us to do, even though maybe we have we feel a leading of the Spirit in what God wants us to do. Let's have patience also in working that out. Sometimes maybe we tend to say, okay, now I've got an answer, let's charge ahead and do it, and kind of push others aside trying to get there. Let's be careful. Patience is very important in all aspects of life. Patience is more than covering our impatience. Patience is love in action. And I'd like to leave us with that thought this morning. As we go through life, maybe as life comes at us, let's not meet it in impatience. Let's not meet it with thinking of patience as simply covering our impatience, but let's love those around us and in loving patience deal with them. Patience as love in action. And let's realize that waiting on God is finally what's going to bring us out at the right place. Wait, I say, on the Lord, and He will show us what He will have us to do. Shall we bow our heads for a word of prayer?